This is the DS106 Good Spell, Episode 9.
Digital identity. Who we are on the web. Who holds our data. The new flesh. To graph this new flesh. The computer screen has become the retina of the mind's eye. And reality is less than the network. The time has now come to reclaim that control and embody the new flesh of the web.
The DS-106 Good Spell in 106 bullets on DS-106 Radio for life.
Welcome to the DS-106 Good Spell, digging into the online course DS-106 from the angle of Mariana Funes' string of 106 Pearls of Wisdom. In each episode, we will cover one of the bullet points posted by Mariana at 1:06 a.m. on the 106th post of our DS-106 Tumblr. I'm John Johnson, and at the other end of this Skype call is Mariana Funes and Rochelle Lockridge. Rochelle is our special guest this evening. Good evening, folks.
Good evening. Good evening.
So, the bullet for this week, Mariana, is... And it sort of follows on, I think, from last, when we're talking about being open. When someone intrudes into my virtual privacy, I do well to remember it's just words. So these are sort of challenges to the open web learning. Could you maybe pad that one out a wee bit?
Well, just really to maybe, pad, I'll flesh out a bit the story behind it. I had a difficult situation towards the end, I think, of our Headless 13 last year, where somebody who I did not know and did not want to get hold of my email address got hold of my email address, emailed me, and I woke up one morning with this email from this person, and I just panicked. I have to be very honest and just say I completely panicked. It was as if I had this person in my house, and I didn't know what to do, and I just contacted Alan, because I sort of, it was kind of my default thing. And so he immediately, and it was a stupid hour for the US, but he immediately responded. I think he kind of monitors the things that may be, urgent in some way. He immediately responded, and he said, first thing he said, and I want to share this because it was funny, it made me laugh. He said, "Do you want me to go and beat up his website?" And then he said, after that, we were just having an interaction on Skype, and then after that he said, "You just need to remember, you need to look at that, and you just need to remember it's just words." Made a huge difference. As it turned out, I sorted it out and found out how he'd got the email, etc. It wasn't a big problem, but it is, I suppose, illustrative of, sometimes, particularly when we're starting out with this open web learning, how sometimes, we may have situations that we don't know how to deal with and that scare us in some way.
I sort of mentioned when the run up to the show, when we're having a wee chat, that I can't really think of any time that something like this has happened to me, except the only place maybe is in an email or email lists where I've been involved, and quite often it's been due to my misunderstanding of somebody. Somebody makes a joke and you can't see their face and you think it's an insult, and that escalates. Rochelle, how about yourself?
Well, I had, in the corporate world, a little bit different in trying to be open and what can come back. This week, as a matter of fact, somebody had private message to me saying, "Well, this is really good and glad you guys in your 3M DS-106 are having a great time, but I'm in this other group and you're sending all these emails there, and could you please put it in a forum in a different place?" And I felt bad about that. I didn't know how to respond. And then I shifted such that I responded to her directly, and then I also responded more generally out in the open and being more transparent, so that I could teach others in the group, in the 3M on our system, how it how you could do it, how you could face some of these particular things. And I was very vulnerable. I wrote, I said, I learned today that when I'm essentially spamming an email list, and I didn't mean to do that. I won't do that anymore. I apologize for that. I'm just learning. And I had some great stuff come back for me being transparent to the organization. There was conversation about how you turn things off, you know, and what was and what the result of that is going to be is that more people are willing to be more open. The more I take little steps and they see that this is okay, that then they're going to do it too. And in a corporate setting, that's pretty scary to be open. And sometimes you do get some people coming back at you who are just being grumpy and, you know, want to be seen and are saying stuff. But I was told the same thing, Mariana, by one of our lead users saying, it's just words and you need to get a thick skin.
And I think, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, and I think that's often... That is often the advice when you encounter any of this kind of negative behaviors, like, you know, the sort of the usual things of, you know, the trolling on YouTube and, you know, or people disagreeing with you and not doing it in a gracious way, but attacking you personally, all of these things. I think the general point that I'm picking out from you, Rochelle, and I see it in my own experience, is often if you're willing to engage with how it is and ask for advice and then say, actually, this is what I've learned as a result, I wasn't aware. If it is you causing the problem, as it were, and if it's the other way, actually investigating and finding out a bit more about how come that you are on the receiving end of that behavior. I mean, I have had situations where, you know, people were behaving in ways which I thought were thoughtless or were uncaring or were any of these things. And once I stopped my own assumptions and just tried to inquire into what was going on, I found out that simple things like, actually, I didn't have, you know, comments switched on, so they couldn't pick up what I was saying and they were getting impatient. So it's, you know, it ended up being me not knowing, like, just like your example, me not knowing how to use the system. So it's finding out, isn't it?
And when, go ahead.
No, go for it, Sam.
What brought that up for me right now is about the language. When we're working globally too, that there are language differences. There's people who don't understand the technology and how we're doing it, and also language differences and culture differences, that you have to be more open and more willing to try things and give people slack.
Mm-hmm. And I think that part of the thing comes is very often these are actually just misunderstandings because we are communicating in a slightly unnatural way. I think what I always talk to young learners about is the fact that people can't see your face on, they can't hear the tone of your voice very often on the internet because they're just reading writing. And I think it's also that, I was going to say especially young people, but I think that's probably completely wrong, that the people you know, sort of feel, and you see this sort of thing blowing up on Twitter every so often, that it's okay to be really rude because they're not in a real situation. And I think maybe in these cases we just need to realise that, one, we are in a real situation, but two, there are difficulties about communication online.
And I think that DS106 and what we do, particularly when we do the collaborative projects and all the stuff that we do that helps us learn how to work, you know, openly in this way with a number of people, I think it teaches you that kind of patience and that kind of thing of, you know, giving people slack. I mean, I wouldn't say of myself that I am a very patient person. And, you know, and really what's had to change is me. I've had had to change so that, you know, I have been able, you know, learn to be more willing to give people slack, to find out, to say, oh, maybe I've made a mistake here. Maybe they've forgotten, and remember things like, you know, yes, of course, I've sent the link before, but I'll send it back again 10 times because I know how it is. And when you have 20 tabs open, you don't find the link. And it's kind of stupid of me to get, you know, to get upset and about the fact that, you know, I've already sent the link once, kind of thing. But, you know, those are my particular patterns. But, you know, I think that there is that thing of, you know, us, particularly when you're working with, like, the collaborative projects, where we slowly we learn how are we going to make this work. And for me, it has certainly been how I make it work is by being willing to, as Rochelle was saying, being vulnerable, being open about when you've made a mistake and when you don't know how to handle something.
There's also the thing I wanted to bring in about when it's right to not engage, to not put energy into something, and that's a little that's a tricky one for me. I'll want to go and be open, and that's my default, but sometimes it is appropriate to just leave it be and not do anything. You want to talk? I'd like to hear your guys' some impression on that too.
John, do you want to say
think I'm probably not very subtle, which is maybe a problem, and not always very good at reading things, so I think it's a case of just moving back and forward. But I really don't think I've been in a position where I felt that bad online, and maybe sometimes I put a lot of energy into something that I think is a great idea, and you know, nobody picks up on it or nobody else thinks it's a great idea, but that's kind of okay. It maybe just wasn't a great idea. Or maybe it was just, you know, it's a great idea for me.
I have had situations. I mean, I think it's interesting that you bring that side of things up. I think it is important, and I have had situations where I have engaged with people, say on you know my blog or in you know some just in different situations online, where there comes a point where you just need to make some decisions about what your kind of objectives might be in engaging with them. And again, you know, it's been for me to look in the mirror and to say, well, actually, you know, if what I'm trying to do is to convince this person of my point of view, perhaps I'm wasting my time and this isn't the best way to invest my energy. Mm-hmm. And that's not easy for me, but but I've learned to do that because actually it enables other things to happen. And just simply sometimes, so it's a big subject that you're raising, because there's something about the not engaging and letting it go, so that because it's just not appropriate to put your energy there for any number of reasons. But then the other side of it is sometimes, the not engaging kind of makes permissive sometimes the kind of behavior that you would not want, you know, that you don't want to happen. So, for example, what I'm thinking about is that hashtag YesAllWomen that has been going around in Twitter as a result of some of the latest events in the U.S., And I think Alan wrote this post around, you know, the sort of what does it mean to be silent? So what does it mean when, you know, there is all these people saying, you know, how women may be treated or not treated on Twitter and elsewhere? And you know, what do you do? What do you say? And is it okay to say nothing? I am only asking questions because it is one of those things that I really wrestle with. I don't have an easy answer to it, but I have been reading about it, and I've been reading a lot of people kind of engaged in the, you know, one way to deal with behavior that is inappropriate in some way. Is to ignore it. Another way is to tackle it head on. Another way is to somehow bring an alternative in. Is there a right way? I guess it goes back to what John was saying. You know, we are feeling our way a bit with this imperfect way of communicating.
It's and you know, the imperfectness is the same imperfect, you know, in just regular face-to-face conversation too. These sorts of issues come up. How do you deal with somebody who's obnoxious? How do you deal with something where it's uncomfortable to talk about something that is important to you? You know, do you just turn away if somebody is being racist, or, you know, or totally sexist? You know, do you just turn away and hope it goes away? There are times when you need to stand up and say something. It's tricky.
It is tricky. And I guess that's the whole point, isn't it? About the more that you open up your sphere of influence, as it were, if you are just within your organization and within your institution, then it's somehow more manageable. But as you start to think about, you know, learning on the open web, then of course the kinds of people that you come in contact with are going to be far more diverse. And so there is a way in which one has to develop just a different way of being to enable you to deal more intelligently with diversity, I suppose. And it's this kind of difficult questions that we are asking that need to be asked, and we each have to navigate our way around, you know, what feels right, sometimes maybe on a case-by-case basis.
I think maybe I'm just been really lucky because occasionally in situations have come up in my sort of meet space life and work or something where I've maybe had to say to somebody, I'm not really comfortable with this sort of joke or, you know, this sort of language. But I don't really, I mean, of people, I mean, I see lots of stuff online, you know, if you're on Tumblr and you click the wrong link, you're going to see something that's going to burn your eyes a bit. but it's not people who are interacting with me. And I guess on those ones, if it's somebody else and they've nothing to do with me, I just ignore it. But in most of the spaces I've joined in on, you know, Flickr or Twitter, or I don't really see much unpleasantness. And one of the things that I don't know how much it's in American press, but certainly in the British press, there's quite often stories about huge flame wars and people being really horrible to a celebrity or something like this on Twitter. And I think I follow about 2,000 people, and I don't really see it. I mean, I don't read every tweet, obviously. I really have I really don't see things that are objectionable on my particular view generally.
I suppose there is the other another issue there. One is about when it doesn't connect and it doesn't relate directly to you. And of course, then there are many things that one can learn as you learn, your sort of digital literacy, how to, you know, avoid, how to not click the wrong link in Tumblr. Yeah. but then, you know, of course, the other issue that comes up is, when you do deal with some difficult situations and some things, then you deal with it. But you find a way to navigate that either maintains the relationship or, as Rochelle's example earlier, improves it because it deepens it in some way. So I've had many situations where there might have been, I've had some situations where there might have been a misunderstanding online in the open, and people have contacted me offline to talk about it. And actually that can lead to a better relationship because you clarify things. I guess I would have to agree with you, John, that, you know, the majority of the time, I would say about 80% of the time, my experience is not anything like what you see in the sensationalist media stories. Like, for example, I mean, there is a thing that's just come out, I think the Guardian has done it as a weekend magazine, and it talks about the 7 digital deadly sins, and it uses the idea of the deadly sins to talk about all the sort of bad behavior online. And it's really quite depressing to read. And I would say, you know, I know this kind of thing exists, but something else that I think is very special about particularly the DS106 community, because that's really what we're talking about, and that's where I've mostly learned some of this. One of the things that's really special is, you know, we seem to navigate this in a way that helps us all learn and does not involve personal attacks of any kind on people. I mean, I've had nothing but positive experiences in the context of the ES-106, even when dealing with difficult situations, if that's not too contradictory.
No, and I think that's probably because there's a lot of people in there who are trying to find out about this space, but they're also trying to be as nice as they can. You know, there's good people, and it's got a good community feeling, and I think a good. Once you're in the community, you follow the rules, sort of thing, that are maybe unspoken. And we seem to be a good set of those.
And I just wanted to just bring up, too, that community thing. If you have problems, it's nice that we do have people who've been here that we can go and talk to and, you know, sort it out and, you know, get some good, nice advice from Alan, or if I go to Mariana and go to somebody else in DS-106 to say, I'm having kind of a hard time with this, and you can come out much better afterwards. It's really good to have that support.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we probably have a little over time, I know, but I wanted to just raise something that sometimes is not our experience being part of the DS-106 community, but sometimes people who come in from the outside, I have heard people say that they find it quite difficult to come in, particularly because, quotes, they don't understand the in-jokes and how do you get in on that. And again, I mean, you know, how does one navigate that? You know, I suppose we all do the best we can to explain, but it can be, I think, quite daunting sometimes for people who are, you know, it's a kind of challenge to the kind of open sharing and open learning when you go into a community that in some sense is already formed, until you learn the rules and whether or not you're willing to learn the rules, I suppose.
And I guess the community is actually just changing and flowing an awful lot, because if you looked at, you know, what's going on in DS-106 now, for instance, and you looked at 2 or 3 years ago, different sets of people, probably different jokes. And possibly that it's a kind of two sides to one coin. Because it's a good, strong community, then it sort of does take a bit of effort to find your way into it. And I don't know, you know, if it wasn't such a strong community, maybe it'd be easy to join, but it'd be easy to leave.
Hashtag for life.
It's that, you know.
It's an interesting point that you raised, though, about the kind of, you know, if you have to work at becoming part of something, and in a sense, you know, we don't just work at becoming part of whatever the common narrative is, but also we work at making things, don't we, together. How different that is from other communities that just talk about stuff.
Yeah, I suppose some places, the joint document writing... But I guess DS-106 a wee bit more fun sometimes, you know, and I think that sort of saves the community very much from itself. That you can't take something which puts so much emphasis on silliness too seriously, and I think that's probably the jokes may bounce people off, but if you get one. That's maybe the point, that you find an entry to the community. And there are lots of multiple entry points. You know, you could be interested in music, you could be interested in images, you could be interested in writing, and find one of those ways to get in. Any last thoughts then, as we are hitting...
Well, I was going to say...
Long mark.
At its best, of course, what you've just described is where, you know, different people find a way in with whatever it is that they are most interested in and are able to bring it in and fit it into the common narrative. And at its best, when we're working well together, that's what the S-106 enables, I think.
Michelle, any last pearls or bullets of wisdom?
I I wanted to say thank you for inviting me today and the things that you're doing on Goodspell. I really appreciate it. I set this time aside to be able to do it. Matter of fact, my grandson is here, and I had to say, Mom, you have to put him to bed, put him to nap, because it's my time now, my little piece of time. So I think we talk about really good stuff. These are important points, and anybody new coming into DS 106, it'll be helpful, and those who are here. Hashtag for life. It's important. So thank you, Mariana and John. I appreciate what you're doing.
Oh, a listener.
you have one, and Christina usually shows up too. Yes. And I see Alan is on today.
Yeah,
it's a biggie.
Yeah, it's the quality, not the quantity of listeners that counts. Thank you very much for popping in, Rochelle. Hopefully you'll come back. And we are, of course, open to other invitations. I don't think we've been at the best at organising things, perhaps, Mariana, other than half an hour before going, oh, we better get busy. So if people are listening, and if you have got tuppence worth, I think we'd be delighted to have people join in, wouldn't we, Mariana?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. It's been lovely to have you on today, Rochelle. Sometimes John and I just get tired of talking to each other. It's nice to have other people talking to us as well.
I can't believe that. Anyway, I'm just going to play out with a wee bumper, so in 30 seconds or so, the stream will come back.
Good spell. We're John and Mariana. Good spell. It's off and on, and it's everything you wanted to know. Tune into the DS106 radio show. Intellectual conversation, the leaders of the game. They are bright, they are sweet, so go on, give them a tweet. The DS106 Good Spell Show.